Well, good evening and welcome to all, particularly all guests that are here this evening. Your presence is a blessing. All of us now together as we offer our praise and thanksgiving in the offering of this vigil mass. Please know next weekend is my last weekend here as the pastor of the Madeleine. Actually, officially, I've become the pastor of St. Benedict's at 12:01 a.m. Monday morning. July 2nd. So, but I'll be around a few more days, be here next, with you next weekend, and then we'll be, officially moving in, at St. Benedict's on the 9th. Father, Desmond Apokpa will be coming here on the 13th, of July, and we'll be with you that weekend, the 13th and the 14th, and so to welcome him, as in his transition, and that he will be coming in to be with you as your pastor, as your priest, as your shepherd. Please know that on July 4th, we have Mass at 10 in the morning for Independence Day. There is no evening Mass. And so go to Mass in the morning, and go barbecue, and then shoot off fireworks legally in legal places on Wednesday to celebrate our independence. Today is a happy day in many, many ways. This morning, I got two new brothers in black. The ordination of Father Robert Duck and Father Vince Fernandez, Holy Family Cathedral. It's a great day. It was a happy, joyful. The cathedral was full. We prayed. We sang. The word was proclaimed in two different languages. Tonglo, Father Vince was born in the Philippines, and also it was proclaimed in English. Father Vince is the third generation priest in his family. His uncle is Father Archie Fernandez in Bartlesville, and Father Archie has an uncle in the Philippines, Father Christopher, who came and vested Father Vince this morning. It's a great honor to vest someone at their ordination. So happy day. So we rejoice with them. That if you were there, if you've ever been at an ordination, also yesterday was the second anniversary of the ordination of our bishop. For all of the music, for all of the great liturgy, for all of the greatness, the most important part of the entire liturgy is done in silence. The most simple thing of all. Laying on of hands. If you were there either 2 years ago for Bishop Conner's ordination or there this morning for the two priests being ordained. Oh, and also, by the way, a year from now, this weekend, I get four more new brothers, including Deacon James Porter, will be ordained to the priesthood on Friday, July the 28th, 2019. So mark your calendars now. Get there early, you know, to get a decent seat. That laying on of hands, right from the Bible, giving that of authority, that these two new priests, because through the laying on of hands of someone who is a successor to the apostles of Jesus Christ, When they got up after that kneeling down and the laying out of hands, they now have the faculties. They are now in persona Christi, be in the person of Christ, to teach, to govern, to sanctify, to consecrate the Eucharist, to forgive sins, to anoint the sick, to prepare those for death. All the things that those of us have been doing that for 25 years. It's probably one of the few things you can do that yet, boom, immediately. You don't have to kind of stair-step into it. It's like, boom, you got all the stuff right there. Because that laying on of hands, such is the power of touch. Such is the power of being touched by the Incarnation. The Word of God made flesh to dwell among us in the person of Jesus Christ. We hear about that in the Gospel reading, particularly tonight, for Mark's Gospel. The healing and also the raising up to life. And notice it's through the power of touch that this takes place. A little bit about background about why this is so astounding. Under the Jewish religious ritual and the customs, particularly at that time, if you touched a corpse or came in contact with a corpse, you were made ritually impure. You had to go through all sorts of prayers and sanctification to be made pure. So you couldn't offer certain prayers. You couldn't go to the temple in Jerusalem. Also, for the woman that we hear in tonight's gospel, who has had this bleeding now for a dozen years, you come into everything and everyone she touches, according to Jewish law, is made impure. Which means she cannot only just not go to the synagogue and pray, she can't go to the temple in Jerusalem and pray. If she is married and has children, she touches them, they are made impure. But Jesus touches them both. And the one who is the Word made flesh, the incarnate Word, can never be made impure. He can never be made unclean or defiled. He makes clean that which is seen as unclean. He makes pure that was seen as impure. He forgives that which is seen as stained with sin. Such is the power of the incarnation, and such is the power of being touched by it. Interesting, this woman in the crowd, you kind of get the impression, you read the gospel and pray with the gospel reading, that it's like if you go into the BOK Center, you're trying to get in through the narrow doors or a big sporting event, or maybe at the cathedral this morning. There's no way you can move without bumping up elbows or shoulders or somebody. So the idea that Jesus says, okay, who touched me? Of course, the disciples look at him like, are you kidding? It's like a claustrophobic nightmare or an introvert's nightmare, kind of like this, you know. But think of all the people in that crowd that would have bumped up against Jesus, come in physical contact with him. The only one that we're told that is healed is the woman. Because she reaches out to him in faith. Just if I touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Such is the power of the touch. Such is the power of being touched by the incarnation. And notice what Jesus does after she has been healed. It's not like you need to go to the pediatrician. You go to the child's doctor, you know, the children's doctor, and you go, oh, well, here's your shot, and now here's a lollipop. You can go home. He invites her in to be in relationship with him. Your faith has saved you. Invites her to be in relationship with him. That's a transformation of being touched by the incarnation. We see that it's also in this child, this 12-year-old who has died, that her father, Jairus, is a synagogue official. We have to kind of think of him maybe as the guy. He's not the rabbi, but he's the guy who makes sure that the doors are open, the roof is fixed, the finances are in place, so the rabbi can simply pray, preach, read the Torah. Pretty good setup, by the way. Yeah. So basically, the toilet overflows, this guy is the one who fixes it, not the rabbi. So he's a pretty important guy. Notice how he goes and seeks out Jesus and prostrates himself before Jesus. And Jesus goes and touches his daughter. Something would be an act of being made ritually impure. And she's healed. She's brought back to life. Such is the touch of the incarnation. And again, Jesus doesn't go off. Then he then invites them in. They eat together. That's the transformative grace of the incarnation that we are invited into. Interesting, I've been quoting her last couple of months, Dr. Mary Healy. She's a scripture scholar at a seminary in Detroit. She spoke here to the priests and deacons in January in our diocese. I have one of her books, The Commentary on the Gospel of Mark, that I've been using to this liturgical cycle. And she talks about this encounter, the woman particularly with the hemorrhage. She says, notice, how often do we approach Jesus like the crowd instead of like the woman? How often do we just kind of bump up against Jesus? How often do we, when we present ourselves for worship, do that? With a spirit of indifference. How often do we approach prayer with indifference? How often do we approach living as a disciple with indifference? And for me, one who 25 years ago, just like Father Robert and Father Vince did, knelt before the successor of the apostles with the laying out of hands with that power of the touch to be in persona Christi. How often do I stand at that altar? I hold the incarnate Word made flesh in my hands in the Eucharist, and it's with a spirit of indifference. That's why the only person that's healed in this encounter is the woman who reaches out to Jesus in faith. That's what we're challenged to do as disciples. We reach out to Jesus and he reaches out to us. And in that touch, we're transformed. Such is the touch of the incarnation. And even over the power of death itself, we hear in the first reading from the Book of Wisdom, the Old Testament, We should not think of death, as we often fear of it, as physical and complete annihilation. I mean, that's what we fear. Instead of seeing it as a transformation, entering into a new life. God did not intend our physical death to be an annihilation, but rather a transformation, an invitation into eternal life. And the Word made flesh triumphs over that in His resurrection. Also, we, as we've been touched by the incarnate Word, the one who's made Himself poor so that we can be made rich, are to share that good news. Notice, Jairus, the synagogue official, and the unnamed woman, they show, they just didn't drop out of the sky. Someone told them about Jesus. They had heard the news about this guy. They'd heard the news about the healing, the preaching, the teaching, and they sought Him out. And they reached out to Him in faith and hope and in trust. And maybe in the case of Jairus, desperation. But something often is that may be the case. For often so, I don't want to project too much on you. But if something brings us to our knees, that's when we reach out to Jesus in faith. That's our role as the church. That we, who have been transformed by the touch of the incarnation, then we share that good news. The touch of others. See, that's the extension. The incarnate Word becomes flesh. And the Eucharist is the sacramental extension of that incarnation. That being touched by the Word made flesh. And then our life in Christ, our life as the church of the disciples, that is the extension of the incarnation to touch others. They too can be healed and transformed. To reach out and touch them in their physical and spiritual poverty. To reach out and touch them in their physical and spiritual illness. To reach out and touch those who have been affected by physical and spiritual death. To be transformed. To be touched. To be healed. To be brought back to life. Such is the power of the touch. Be touched by the incarnate Word. So tonight, let us reach out in faith, in hope, even if it has to be in desperation, that we too will be touched and healed and brought back to life.